Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
So, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Ed, Ray, and now Chris Woodward. Good morning, Chris.
Chris, you there?
Yes, sir. Good morning. Hello?
Yes, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
All right, because Tim just said good morning to you.
Hey, I did. Yeah, I said good morning. I guess there's technical difficulties.
Okay. All right.
Well, it was either that or you weren't paying attention.
No.
I don't know which one. It'd be convenient for you to say technical difficulties.
Yeah. No, yeah, Chris, I'm looking at you on the camera, I don't know what happened there. Happy to be here, regardless of whether people can hear me.
Hey, Ray, on balance, would you say text or have been a positive or a negative for humans?
Text? You mean texting?
You mean like text messages?
T-E-X-T-S.
Yeah, it's been a net positive,
okay.
Right?
I tend to agree, but when they back up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
right.
You back up five or six of them, and then you're trying to think and answer them all, and then three more come in.
You ever texted the wrong person?
Ooh.
No comment.
That's bad when that happens. Because you have a bunch of texts you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and daughter and I are on one text thread when we're just interacting with her. And last week, I mean, it's nothing bad, but last week I just thought I was just texting my wife, and I said, I love you, sweetie. I miss you today. And my daughter answered back. She said, are you talking to me or are you talking to Mama? And I said, well, that was supposed to be just on her text thread.
For your mom.
But for my wife. Yeah. I said, but yes, I do love you and miss you as well.
And Tony, if you're listening, he loves you too.
Yeah, he's got his own text thread with us.
I did. One of my associates here at work, who shall go unnamed, well, his wife was traveling and they were... And he texts me about 11 o'clock one night and said, sweet dreams. I'm laying in bed with Allison. Yeah. I said, this is really weird.
Yeah.
I said, so-and-so doesn't usually drink this late. I don't know. But he's,
that's right.
Come on. We can't tell who it is?
Well, as it turns out, he was texting
his wife
mm-hmm. who was traveling. They went telling me to have sweet dreams.
Can I share a story? It doesn't involve a text message, but a similar issue involving
just don't want to get too personal.
An accidental reply. Oh no! Several years ago, not long after I first was hired here, and thanks again for my job. I was trying to line up an interview with somebody about a story that was national, and a lot of people were covering it. And the representative of this organization accidentally replied to my email when she meant to forward it to her superior. And this representative said, you know, so-and-so, this is that really conservative group. Should I go ahead and book an interview with this person or say no? And then within seconds, she was like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. We would love to book an interview with you and all these other things. And I ended up getting the person that I wanted to interview like the next day. And he was very helpful and offered to do all kinds of commentary on this and that and one thing or the other. So it's not just text messages. Make sure you don't send your email to the wrong person.
Oh, yeah, you got to be careful. All right, go ahead, Chris.
Well, we've talked a lot about in recent days. We've talked a lot in recent days about the debate, and then you have the Amy Coney Barrett situation, the election, stuff like that. One other thing that's going to be hanging over our heads for the next 6 weeks or so involves the government shutdown. Now, today is October 1st, which is the beginning of the fiscal year in these United States of America. And in recent hours, our members of Congress and President Trump came together to agree on a temporary spending bill. But here's the deal. It's only going to fund the government through December 11th. So we're going to get through the election. We might survive the Amy Coney Barrett confirmation hearings, assuming there are some. And then we're going to have the 11th hour. We have to fund this or people aren't going to be fed and parks are going to close and all this other stuff right before the happiest time of the year, being Christmas.
Do you really think that this is going to be a suspenseful process?
Yes, because the media will make it one.
I'm thinking both. This is one thing I think that both sides have now come to agree on, and that is neither side, I'm not talking about Republican or Democrat, wants to be the one to shut down the government. I mean, we've had over. This is not just directed to you, Chris.
I know.
This is just a Ray. Comment if you want. Whatever. Sure. It seems to me that we went through all those times when we were asking Republicans, "No, shut down the government over this. Mm-hmm. Shut down the government over that. If we have to, nobody's going to do that anymore." I just think both sides think that's a. I don't know. I am a little cynical about politics.
I'd say you're being a realist. I mean, You've dealt with this as we all have.
You know, that's not cynicism. That's just practical reality. I mean, who really won the last 10 times we did this? Right. No, I think, Ed, you're right. I think we're going to get to December the 11th, and mm-hmm. they're going to make another deal and push it. I do think, Ed, they're going to keep kicking the can down the road.
Yes.
As long as they can.
Right. Because otherwise that would require Republicans and Democrats to actually work together to get a budget together, mm-hmm. you know, the way they're supposed to. And that just doesn't happen anymore. And like you said, Ray, they just kick the can down the road because they can. I admit I'm being cynical.
No, I'd agree.
That's just realistic.
I don't even
practical.
Believe there's a can anymore.
They're just kicking the dirt.
Just kicking the dirt.
Oh, they're just making the kicking motion.
Can is shredded long way back. Way back, 100 miles
ago. What are we at now in terms of debt? $50 trillion now?
Unfunded liabilities and all that
no,
stuff.
No, I'm not even talking about that, unfunded liabilities. I was being hyperbolic, what's the debt now?
It's really about $28 trillion in change.
$28 trillion.
Is it just straight up 28, nothing else considered?
Yeah, you can go to like the debt clock or something, which is an online clock, and it shows you like within seconds what our debt is.
Because they're gonna add another $2.2 trillion to that debt.
They are,
right?
Yeah, that is the other issue right now. Nancy Pelosi and members of the House are pushing a $2.2 trillion coronavirus relief plan. That's what they're calling it. And the shtick with that is it's less than what they originally came to Republicans with. Republicans want to do less than what Democrats are proposing, but both sides want to get elected, so we'll see what happens between now and November.
It's actually 26 trillion 800 billion.
Is that so Chris, you're probably thinking about adding the 2.2 trillion. It'll bring it up to over.
No, sir. I did a story last week that involved somebody still wanting the members of Congress to address debt and whatnot, and I linked to a debt clock that had a higher figure. So,
oh, okay, all right. Well, I guess the numbers are up so high that debt clocks can't even accurately project it.
Either way, it's a number none of us even like thought we'd see one day. Yeah,
this is crazy.
Hey, speaking of money, We've had stories like this pop up from time to time in the news headlines on people frauding or defrauding the government of this the money that's being thrown out there for businesses and individuals hit hard by coronavirus and the government's response to it. Now we have news of a North Carolina man who applied for more than $6 million in Paycheck Protection Program loans. He's been charged with fraud. Authorities say he was fraudulently using Game of Thrones names. He was applying for government loans using names of characters from the Game of Thrones series. And this is not the first one. We had that guy back over the summer that got like $7 million from Uncle Sam and went and bought a Lamborghini and like took women on dates and stuff like that. The sad thing is I interviewed two organizations about that, the Heritage Foundation and Taxpayers Protection Alliance, and both of them said, and I'm paraphrasing it, but they both said, well, you know, this is sad, but I'm not surprised because we rush all this stuff out and nobody really watches it. And that's your money, listeners, that's going to these things.
Well, now we can do about it really much. I mean, the Congress controls the purse, and they spend money on a lot of it.
Well, and the Republicans have long time. I actually blame George W. Bush for this. Under his leadership, Republicans basically punted the fiscal conservatives. Yes, they just basically said, we're not going to be fiscal conservatives anymore because the American people don't want fiscal conservatives.
Right. But ultimately, we can blame ourselves.
Yes.
The American people. Now, I will say this. Mm-hmm. It's a behemoth, the federal government out there. It does cost a lot of money to run it.
right,
to operate it. And a lot of things are unnecessary, but we know how that goes. Once the government's created something, the likelihood of it going away,
right,
or the budget being reduced is very small. I don't know that it ever happens, quite frankly. A few agencies and departments have been closed or shut down or downsized in the last few years, but not many. But this debt is not of concern to the American people as a top 10 issue.
Right.
Now, I think it was back during the Tea Party movement. It was probably, you know, in your top five,
mm-hmm.
the federal debt and what that means to the value of the dollar potentially, what it means to our economy potentially.
Possibility of inflation. All
but
that.
I think what happened is, it's the little boy that cried wolf syndrome, Ray?
Yeah.
And that is, you know, Ron Paul, and I appreciate a lot of what he's done, the former congressman, but not just him. There have been a lot of economists over the last 20 years. I subscribed to this at one time, believed that, you know, the continuing growth of the federal government debt would lead to hyperinflation or the collapse of the economy. But it didn't, and it hasn't, and I kind of doubt that it will. I know a lot of people are probably thinking, really, you really believe that? I'm just saying that you're over $25 trillion in debt right now.
Right.
Okay, I remember when people were freaking out about 10.
Right.
Nothing's happened.
Yeah.
Nothing's happened. So I think the American people don't think anything can happen from adding another couple of trillion to the national debt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that's the minute now. Because when you have the world reserve currency, and that is the U.S. dollar, you have printing presses, and you have, the world reserve currency is the big thing. And then you have the Federal Reserve. You have all those mechanisms in place. You can control. It. You can control it till the day comes when you can't. And there may be a day out there, Ray. But I'm just saying.
That's the question I'm trying to ask, because you said, and I agree. I can remember when the thought of $10 trillion, which is an unthinkable number, but people were worried about what was going to happen. We were worried. Now it's 15, then it's 20, it's 25, it's 26, it's going to be 28, 29. 30. Okay, Tim, so what if one day, I don't know how long, but what if we get to 50 trillion? Is there a point at which that we've made a house of cards out of national debt and the whole thing is going to come down?
Who's going to collect our debt?
Yeah.
Well, I'm at a little bit of a disadvantage because I'm not an economist, so I can't tell you the economic laws that come into play.
I'm a self-appointed.
But I think that is, whether we know it or not, that is the sword of Damocles, which in Greek mythology was the sword that always hung over. I think that's the sword of judgment that God is holding. I don't know whether he lets that drop or not, but at some point, a major economic shock like we had at the end of the Bush administration, I think, is the kind of thing that could topple it. Now, what happens after that?
Mm-hmm.
Because it would create the seismic rumbles would go throughout the world economy, and the United States is probably in better shape than the vast majority of countries. So maybe we all suffer, but we're still kind of at the top of the heap. But
well, that's what I'm saying, is if it's all relative, right? By all relative, I mean the way countries can handle this. If we're at the top of that list, I think we are, then if everybody else suffers equally to us, we're still ahead of you see what I'm
unless,
saying?
Unless there's massive inflation, unless the federal government collapses, to me, that's the only way the federal government stops being the behemoth, is that the House of Cards collapses, You can't fund the federal government anymore. Social Security disappears. Banks, there, you know, runs on banks. Your 401k disappears. Now, we may suffer relative to other countries, but the suffering, I think, in this country would still be real.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be imaginary.
Well, that's the end of, that's
a Great Depression.
Let me ask another question to you guys, because you guys know, you're economic experts. Mm-hmm. I certainly am not, but I appointed myself and they rejected me. But, okay, assuming that everything you just said is true, but we heard this kind of warning. I mean, on our own network, we were talking about this right. some years ago, right? We hit 10 and it didn't happen. We hit 15 and it didn't happen. We hit 20. How come it's going to happen?
No, it's not. Listen, it's not that the debt causes the collapse. It's that the debt is, as whichever one of you says, house of cards. The debt is a house of cards, and some other economic shock brings it down.
Okay,
to me, the debt, as long as everything stays the same the way you described it, Tim, with ours being the dollar being the world's reserve currency, we have the printing presses so we can print as much of that as we want. As long as all that stays going the way it is, maybe we can hit $50 trillion. I don't know. But it's the economic shock. As far as I understand, there are rules to economics. And if you have a collapse in confidence in the dollar, inflation shoots up to where, like Germany between the two world wars, it takes $1,000 to buy a loaf of bread.
That's the danger.
Yeah.
You think that could happen?
Now maybe that's temporary. Maybe that lasts a year or lasts 2 years.
We're just speculating at this point, so we'll move on to the next topic because we're not economists, but common sense. But I would just say you're past the point of no return. Is that the expression?
You're probably right about that.
Right.
So we're, you know, if stop, danger ahead sign was in the highway, that was about 1,000 miles behind us.
Yes. We blew right past that.
If that was in New York, we're in St. Louis on our way to L.A.
Yeah,
that's okay? Right.
No, that's absolutely right.
So,
because we're not even talking about the unfunded liabilities of pensions and
I don't know. You might as well keep driving and hope you make it.
Pedal to the metal, baby.
Tell me a candidate out there anywhere who's going to say, we need fiscal responsibility.
Right.
In our nation's capital, we got to cut back on A, B, C, D, E.
That's not going to happen.
No.
You know, Republicans stop doing that because Republicans would say, all we want to do is cut back the increase in spending next year from 3% to 2%. That's all we want. We were going to cut back the increase from 3% to 2%.
Yes.
And Democrats would say, you're cutting funding for the poor.
You hate people.
And Republicans finally said, all right, we're not doing it anymore.
Grandma's not going to get her Social Security check.
Exactly.
They're going to hurt grandma.
You're going to push her over the cliff.
And that the Democrats used that. It worked to the point where the Republicans said, we give up. We can't. This doesn't work for us. And the American people don't want to hear anything about it.
Right.
Yeah. They have that super PAC known as the media to help them.
And then you got congressmen and senators who are Republican going, you know, I've got to get my cut for my district and my state too. I got to bring home the bacon.
Right.
And so if I want to bring home the bacon, I got to help the other guy get his bacon so he can get reelected. So we're all just going to have to shut up about.
Because we're professional politicians.
Fiscal responsibility.
Job number one is reelection.
And if they don't bring home the bacon to their defense, then people back home going, where's the bacon?
Yes.
Well, I'm practicing fiscal responsibility. And the people go, we don't care about that. We want our bacon. So either you show it or we're voting you out.
Right.
So
I think for a bunch of non-economic experts, I think we laid that out pretty accurately.
We did pretty good, actually. Yeah.
All right, Chris, go ahead.
Well, one other story that's breaking today, well, not breaking, but developing, I'll be getting some reaction on this later today. California Governor Gavin Newsom has signed legislation into law that requires California-based corporations to have directors from racial or sexual minorities on their board. This is a first-in-the-nation bill. So basically, the state of California is telling companies with headquarters in California, you must have, let's say, an Asian person on your board, or you must have a homosexual or a lesbian or a transgender person on your board. I know oftentimes when we talk about or discuss California, people tend to roll their eyes and think, well, that's California. It'll never happen in my state. But here's the deal. Oftentimes what happens in California is tried in another state. This will undoubtedly be attempted in Massachusetts, in Florida. It'll be somewhere else next year or in the next few years.
I think and we wonder why people are leaving California.
Right.
I think to rephrase your question, Chris, or your statement is, I think people are leaving California and trying to bring this garbage with them. That's been the problem.
There you go. That's right. A good point.
This kind of thinking here. You're telling me, so the governor and the legislature in California are wanting to set up quotas?
Yes.
Nationality or ethnicity quotas?
Yes.
For
corporate boards. Now, this it's legislation similar to a 2018 measure that required California boardrooms to have at least one female director. So, this is
that's
a step
insane.
Above what they've done. There are going to be some lawsuits.
But that's California. Let them do it. Go ahead. All right, go ahead, Ed.
Well, listen.
Well, you're not on our board, but you would help a lot because you're Greek Italian.
That's kind of what I was going to say.
Check.
What if you had someone like Barack Obama, who had a black father and a white mother? Would he count? I mean, he's half and half.
He would count half.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but he was half black, half white. Would he count as a fully black board member or only half? See, that's the problem you get into when you try to enforce these kinds of quotas. If you have a fully black woman, does that count as two minorities on the board? Well, we've got a
twofer.
Yes, it's a twofer. And what if they're half black and half Hispanic, and it's a woman, but it's a woman who identifies as a man? Is that four? Four boxes?
I think as your brother, I think I need to stop you right there because you're about one more way from getting in trouble with a whole bunch of groups.
I'm just talking about the futility of that. So that I checked four boxes with that last example.
Well,
okay, everybody's
California's
quiet. Everybody wants to let me.
I got popcorn going
Newsom's
on.
Nuts.
Somebody could put out this fire if they wanted.
I just think that's idiocy.
Yes, it is.
It's just it's progressive, liberal idiocy.
Right.
And promoted by people who think they're virtue signaling to the world that they got humanity figured out better than everybody else and they're going to show the world. But on a practical level, is it nice for boards of corporations to have a diverse peoples? Yeah, but that's their own choice. You got to get people on your board who have expertise in the given area.
Not anymore. Just check the boxes.
To answer your question, I don't think if you're a mixed race, I don't know, you should count as half.
Just half?
Well, that's what you are, right? Half of whatever you are, contribute that to meeting the quota of the board as set by the legislature.
I think California needs to put me in charge.
One year. Is this being proposed or has this been passed?
Oh, he signed it into law.
Well, this is going to be
fun. For private companies?
Oh. Yes.
Oh, brother.
Hey, the rest of the country, look out because here comes California.
That's right.
More of them are going to move to your state. All right. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you.
Trivia Friday tomorrow. We'll see you then.